this the final sedra of Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Vayechi. Find the Yaakov Avinu giving brachas to his sons, and starts off with the introduction of Yikra Yaakov el Banav. Vayomer, Yaakov calls over his sons and he says to them, Hey Yasvu Vegidu Lachem Eis Asher Yikra Eschem Vacharis Hayamim. So if you look in the translations, you'll probably see something to the following effect, that he said, Come gather and I will tell you what will occur, what will happen, Asher Yikra Eschem to you, Vacharis Hayamim, in the end of days. However, the problem is that in Hebrew, it's not the correct spelling, right? When you want to say in Hebrew, to happen, what will happen to you, yikre, is with a hey at the end. Yud kuf resh hey, yikra. Whereas here in this pasuk, it's spelled with an aleph. Yud kuf resh aleph, sher yikra eschem with an aleph. What does with an aleph mean? It means like to call, right? Hu karalo, he called him, right? Likro means to call. So it doesn't really fit, right? This has come, he gathered them and told them that Asher Yikra Eschem, it should be what was going to happen in the future, not just calling. What's calling have to do with anything? So that's the question that we're going to try to answer eventually. Okay, well, a little bit of introduction. There's a Gemara, Maseches Brachos, Daf Hei. It says, Adam yafash. A person finds that Yisurin, suffering, this happens to him, that happens to him. So what should he do, says the Gemara? He should look into his Maisim, check his Maisim, see how did he do it, maybe this Avera, that Avera, look into his actions, and of course, then correct them. So what's the deeper idea? So the Mefarshim explain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way he runs the world, he punishes, we call mida keneged mida. Okay, that according to that the punishment suits the crime, let's say. Example, let's give an example, some an example. Therefore, let's say a person bites his tongue. Okay, so that could be a sign that maybe he spoke Lashon Hara. And as a result, Hashem punishes Mida Keneged Mida, so that he, bites his tongue, which he used to speak Lashon Hara. And that's the punishment suits the crime. So explain what's the purpose of this. Why is Hashem bothered to do this? Very nice, it's cute, but there must be a reason for it. Why is Hashem punished in such a manner? So the answer is that it's an order that's for us to do tshuva, because Hashem's not interested stum in punishing us. Right? He wants to cure us. He wants to make sure we don't do it again and we learn from our mistakes. And the best way to do that is to learn from mistakes, is to realize that we should be able to realize what our mistakes were. Therefore, back to our example, if a person, let's say, spoke Lashon Hara and then he stubbed his toe. So what's the connection, right? He's not going to be able to make the connection and say, oh, I stubbed my toe. Now, why did I stub my toe? He's not going to ever dream it's because he spoke Lashon Hara. Okay, maybe he kicked somebody or something, but it would never connect it to Lashon Hara. Ah, but if he bites his tongue, so then he can say, wait a minute, tongue, it must be something to do with my tongue, let me think. Oh yeah, I spoke Lashon Hara about so-and-so the other day. Ah, you see? And then he has what to do tshuva on, and he can correct his ways. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore punishes in this mida keneged mida fashion. In fact, Rav Avram Grzinski, Shem Yom Kodomo, he once said that in the times in the Nevi'im, they used to be the answer to our questions. When somebody bit their tongue, they would go to the Navi, and the Navi would say, yes, you spoke Lashon Hara, whatever. They would tell us what to do, what to correct, what are problems, why they're happening. But nowadays, he says, we don't have Nevi'im. So he says, these Yisurin that come Mida Keneged Mida, he says, that's the Nevi'is in our day and age. Right, we can, as Hashem said, understands we can't go to a Navi and ask him why this is happening. So Hashem does a dafka and mida keneged mida, so we ourselves can figure out why these things are happening, and therefore learn and then do tshuva on them. It's an interesting maisa with the Netziv. Netziv Mivolozhin, he used to be Noach, he never called a doctor. Right, anytime he wasn't well, sick, He just a day or two would go by and he'd be got better, and that was it. Never called the doctor. So the story goes, once he wasn't well, and a couple of days went by, he still wasn't well, and his family encouraged him to call the doctor. He says, you know, you should get it checked out by a doctor. You don't usually call doctors, but we really suggest, because of the matzav, that you're not getting better, you should call the doctor. Anyways, he agreed. So the doctor came, checked him out, and sure enough, he found what the problem was, and he gave him a prescription, you know, to fill. And so thank you very much. Thank the doctor. The doctor left. No sooner than that, the doctor left, and the tzeev took the prescription, and ripped it up and threw it in the garbage. So their family was shocked. He says, "What's going on over here?" Right? You realize it's important to call the doctor. You call the doctor. The doctor comes. He found what the problem is, and he gave you a prescription. So what are you tearing it up for? It doesn't make any sense. So he says, "It makes a lot of sense." Why? He says, "Let me explain to you." He says, "Why don't I ever call doctors?" Because I don't need to call doctors. Hashem punishes mina keneged mina, correct? So therefore, whenever I have a problem, I just relate it, think, what did I do wrong? Okay, my tongue is sore, let's say. I think, what did I do? Oh yeah, I didn't speak so nicely, whatever. And then I do tshuva on that thing, and then the pain goes away. Because the pain is only there in order to do tshuva, right? Hashem sends a mina keneged mina, so we see what we did wrong, then we correct ourselves, and then it goes away. So that's all, that's what I do all the time. However, what happened? This time I was sick, and I couldn't pinpoint the source of my sickness. Had I known what it was, fine, I could do tshuva, but I couldn't do tshuva because I didn't know really what was my problem. So that's why I called the doctor. Doctor came, he checked me out, he says, "Yes, your problem is this X, Y, and Z." Ah, very nice. So now I knew what the source was. Then I could, you know, relate it back to something I did in tshuva, and I'll get better. Finish. What do I need a prescription for? I don't need a prescription, right? I didn't call the doctor to give me the medicine. I don't need the medicine. All I have to do is see what I did wrong and do tshuva. But my problem was I just couldn't zero in on the source. He provided me with the source. This is where your source of your sickness is coming from. This. Oh, it's from that. Oh, now I know I did what I did wrong, and I get a tshuva, and I don't need the pre medicine. So that's let's see. Similar is a Maisa, more recent Maisa. There was a fellow, he had problems with his leg, very, very serious pains in his legs, and he couldn't hardly walk. Anyways, the doctors checked him out, and they said he has a problem with the calcium in his bones is escaping, and oh, Maisa. Anyways, he was distraught. He went to the Rav, and he says, "What should I do?" So the Rav said, "You know what? Chazal tell us, you know, mina keneged mina." So he said, "Maybe it's something you did wrong with your feet, your legs, feet." So he said, "Like what?" He says, "Okay, let's check out." He opened up a Sefer Charedim. Sefer Charedim there describes certain, mitzvahs people do with the different various limbs. So they opened it up and they said, "Well, it says over here that what do you do with your feet? You go places, mitzvahs. You go to Mevaker Cholim, visit the sick. You go to Levaya. You go to chasana, right? That's what you do with your feet." So this guy started thinking, again, you know, mina keneged mina. He says, "You know what, Taka, you know, I don't know for sure, but maybe this is it. You see, I remember a friend of mine was in the hospital recently, and I thought, you know, I really should go visit him, and I didn't go. I didn't go. I was busy with this. I was busy with that. I had 101 excuses, and ended up not going visiting him in the hospital. But maybe that's it. You know, maybe this is my punishment for not going to visit him in the hospital, and my legs started hurting me." So Rav said, "You know, could be." So sure enough, he says, "I'm going to visit him. I better, you know, straighten this out, do tshuva." So he went, and he was, even though it was very hard for him because of the pains in his legs, he was moser nefesh, and he made his way to the hospital and visited his friend. And sure enough, no sooner than he paid the visit, shortly right after that, the pains just disappeared, and he didn't need any medical attention, no medicines, no nothing. Everything was back to normal. Similarly, there's another Maisa with Rav Chaim Mivolozhin. Chaim Mivolozhin, he had a minhag that he used to always daven the minyan only if there's a sefer Torah. In other words, he insisted to daven only where there's a sefer Torah, whether you not only shacharis, mincha, maariv, it always has to be a sefer Torah there at the minyan. This is minyan. Anyways, so once he was at a chasana, his son's chasana, Yitzchak Mevolozhin actually, and he was at his son's chasana, and it came time for mincha. And they said, okay, let's like to do a chasana, let's get together and we'll daven mincha. And Rav Chaim says, wait a second, I can't daven mincha, there's no sefer Torah here. So, you know, there's a hall or whatever, no sefer Torah. So there was a rav that was there, the rav at the hall, and he paskened that it's okay, you can daven mincha without a sefer Torah. So Rav Chaim wasn't thrilled about it, but he said, no, the rav paskened, so I'm not going to argue and put up a fuss, and therefore they daven mincha without the sefer Torah. So, and then came the chasana, everything's fine, nice. Comes home after the chasana, and he sees something's a little bit suspicious in his home. Looks around, says, somebody's been into my home. So he checks around, sees, looks around, and sure enough, he realized the ganav was in there. And what did he take? None other than his Sefer Torah. Took his Sefer Torah, and he ran out with it. He had a little Sefer Torah in his house. It was gone. So, Mina keneged Mina, all right, thought, wait, what's the reason? There must be a reason here why my Sefer Torah was stolen. And he says, oh, it must be because I daven mincha without a Sefer Torah. Sounds good, right? Puts two and two together. And so he says, okay, that's it, I have to do tshuva. So he gets up and he davens Hashem, you know, shamnu bagadnu and vidui, Hashem, you know, apologizes, asks Hashem to forgive him for davening without a Sefer Torah. No sooner that he's finished his vidui, knock on the door, opens it up. Who's standing there at the threshold? The ganav with the Sefer Torah in his hand. Says, here, you know, I felt bad. I had misgivings. You know, I shouldn't have done it. And here, I'm returning your Sefer Torah. And he returned it. So, as we see, you know, Mida keneged Mida, saw what was wrong. He did tshuva, and the problem was solved. Back comes the Sefer Torah. And the story goes actually that they checked the Sefer Torah to make sure everything was okay, you know, it wasn't tampered with in the meantime while it wasn't there. And they found it was missing one sheet, one yiriyah was missing. And what was it? It was the reading of that day of the Chasana. It was gone. Anyway, so that really put the Mida keneged Mida into perspective. Anyways. Okay, so that's the idea of this, the Mina keneged Mina. However, unfortunately, most people, they're either not aware of this or they don't pay too much attention to this these days, and they don't relate to their, you know, problems to averas that they did. And instead, they just deal with their problems directly, right? They don't feel well. What do you do? Take a pill. Right, their head hurts you, you bite your tongue, right? Your tongue hurts you, so you take a pill, right? Instead of, you know, mifashri, what did I do wrong? No, take a pill and go away. So a nice mashal, heard a nice mashal once. What is this mashal davar dome? Once a guy, he buys a car, okay, and he's driving the car and he's happy, great car, you know, driving it around, it's doing great. All of a sudden, one day, he sees in his dashboard this red light goes on with a picture of a little oil container. You know, this red light says oil, and it lights up on his dashboard. So he's, I said, I don't like this light, this bright red light, you know, staring me in the eyes. Oh, something's obviously wrong. I'm going to take this to the garage, see what's doing. So drives into the garage. Comes out to the mechanic. He says, "Listen, I got this problem." He says, "What's wrong?" He says, "This red light in my dashboard is on. It's been on for a while, and I don't know what to do about it." So he says, "Let me see." He sticks his head in the car. He looks in. You know, he sees the oil light on. He says, "Ah," I said, "Okay, no problem. I'll take care of it." He says, "Can you open up your hood?" He says, "Sure." Opens up his hood. So the mechanic opens up the hood. He sticks his head in there. He says, "Now you stay in the car and you look at the light. And you tell me when the light goes off." "Okay?" He says, "Yeah, sure, no problem." He says, "The light's on?" He says, "Yeah." Okay. So he sticks his hand in and he pulls out his wire, takes out a pair of scissors. He says, "The light's still on?" He says, "Yeah." He goes, ksh! He cuts the wire And he says, "Now what?" He goes, "No, the light went off." He says, "Ah, good, fine." Closes the hood, and he says, "That's it, fixed." He says, "Wow, that was great, so fast. And how much do you charge?" "Nothing." "What, nothing? Wow, you got hands of gold. You don't even take any money, but wow, you're unbelievable. I've seen a mechanic like this." "Yeah, no problem, anytime." He says, "Well, thank you so much." And he drives off. He's happy, lights out, and he's doing good. Driving, 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 of course, until his whole car breaks down, the engine collapses, seizes, because there's no oil in the engine, right? And the end of the car. That's the mashal. He says, that's the nimshal. He says, so too, same thing. Person, something happens to him. What is Hashem doing? He's sending him a sign, sending him a red light. Right, bites his tongue, our mashal, right? Bites his tongue. Says, "Oh, red light, something's wrong," right? So what's pshat? If a person takes a pill, of course, if you take your pill, your pains will go away. As this guy in the car, you cut the wire, the red light goes out, 100%. But is that the right? That's the right approach. The red light's gone. Fine, your pain is gone. Your tongue doesn't hurt you anymore. But you're missing the point. That's your tongue's not. There's a reason why your tongue's hurting you. There's something deeper reason. Because you spoke Lashon Hara. Just by taking your pills, you're just covering up the, now it's not hurting me anymore. It's like cutting the wire. Good, now the red light's off. But now your old, that's the reason why the light went on, because your engine needs oil. You don't put it in, your whole engine's going to be destroyed. So through here, if you don't do tshuva, and you keep speaking Lashon Hara, you're going to destroy your whole neshama, right? Just taking, taking the pill for the pain of when your tongue hurts, you're missing the point. I say, okay, you can take the pain, take the pill, but realize that you can cut the wire on the car too, as long as you put oil in the engine. Okay, I mean, the Iker is to put the oil in the engine. Just taking rid of the lights, you're missing the whole point. That's the way people are. A similar mashal also heard once. Somebody goes to his mailbox, his house, and he opens up the mailbox, and he sees a bill, electric bill. So he goes, "Oh, electric bill, wow, darn." Okay, fine. So he pays the electric bill. Next day he goes, opens it up, he gets a gas bill. He goes, "Oh, another bill, it's ridiculous." Third day, opens it up, and his phone bill. Every day, bills, bills. Forget it. This mailbox of mine is driving me crazy. That's it. I had enough of this mailbox. I'm not going to deal with this mailbox anymore. He locks his mailbox and says, "I'm not opening up this mailbox again. Finished. That's it." So what happens? They put the, next month, they put again the electric bill and the phone bill and this. And he's not opening his mailbox, right? He feels great, no more bills to pay, this is great, and his neighbor is saying, "Hey, how come you're so happy? You always have this like frown on your face. You're so happy lately." He goes, "Yeah, because I did away with my crazy mailbox. I'm not opening it anymore. Finished, I feel great, no bills to pay." Oh, fine. One month back, 2 months back, and they sent another warning, this company, this mortgage, and all these payments they're not paying. Eventually, they, close electricity, close the water, close that, and boom, he's out on the street, right? It's the same idea, right? You close your mailbox, you got rid of the problems, like cutting the wire on the light, right? Good. Now there's you're happy, but it's a temporary happy. You're not getting to the source. The source is you gotta pay your bills, right? Just closing your mailbox is a temporary thing. It's not take a pill. Okay, I don't have a headache anymore. My tongue's not hurting me anymore. But that's not the, you have to get to the source. There's once this doctor, once probably still around, he wrote a number of books. He had this theory, right? What was his theory? His theory was that people come to him with the pain, aches and pains, right? Oh, back aches and headaches, so he used to have this theory that he wrote books on it, right? How to, if you have these aches and pains, how to cure your aches and pains. What was his theory? His theory was that really there's nothing physically wrong with you. There's nothing mentally wrong with you, right? In other words, you got some type of a mental hang up, whatever it might be. You're depressed, a little bit depressed, or this, whatever it might be. There's some mental problem, and what happens that your body, he says, it was his theory that your body, doesn't want you to have to, deal with that. So it tries to distract you from it. So what does your body do? It makes you, gives you these little aches and pains. Gives you headaches, gives you stomach aches, gives you back aches, whatever it might be, okay? And so that you'll be, thinking about your headaches or whatever, and you won't be and these deeper problems, whatever, won't bother you. You know, these mental problems that you have, psychological problems, whatever you want to call them, right? You won't think about them because you'll be busy thinking about your backache or your headache or whatever. And that's your body's way of distracting you from your psychological problems. And he says you might not even realize it that you have these psychological problems deep down. You're in your subconscious. You don't realize that there's these problems, but they're there. They're deep down, and still your body, in order to distract you from them, does these things. So therefore, his theory was, if you want to get rid of your headaches or your backaches, whatever, you don't need pills. You don't need this. You don't need that. What do you need to do? He says, just don't pay attention to them, right? Don't think about them. Right, if you the more you pay attention to them, say, oh, this backache, whatever. So that's exactly what your body wants you to do. It wants you to concentrate on your backache so that you won't forget about it, won't distract you from your psychological problems. Right, so therefore, if you want to get rid of your backache, just ignore it, pretend it doesn't exist. Just say, I don't have a backache. I'm fine. Right, just ignore it. So then your body will say, hey. I'm not going to waste my time giving this guy a backache. He's not doing anything. I'm giving him a back to distract him, and he's just like not paying attention to it. So your backache will go away. That was his theory. Your backache, headache, whatever it might be, just ignore it. Don't pay attention to it. It'll go away because it's only there to distract you. If your body sees you're not being distracted, it'll go away. That was his theory. Anyways, I was thinking, based on what we learned, that there's that in economy. If you don't pay attention to your headache, you don't pay attention to your back, they'll go away. But could be not for the same reason he's saying, right? According to the reason we're saying. That of course, Baruch Hu, if he sends mida k'neged mida, right, in order to straighten you out, it could be that the same thing. If Hashem sees that you're not straightening yourself out, he'll say, why am I bother sending him these Yisurim for? It doesn't pay, right? I made him bite his tongue so that he'll do tshuva's lashon hara. He's not, he's just ignoring it, you know? Okay, you know. Nothing. My tongue's fine. I'm okay. Well, nothing's bothering me. I'm ignoring it, whatever. Right? You ignore your pains. It's like again. It's like cutting the wire. You ignore it. There's a reason. So it gets to a point where Kosh Baruch Hu says, "Forget it." Right? I'm gonna give him back his tongue again, again. Every time he's just ignoring it. So then, what am I bothering sending it for? So in Hachanami, it could be like he says that maybe it works. You know, ignore your this ache, ignore that ache, and it'll go away. But maybe for a different reason, on a hashkafic reason, maybe for a different reason. It'll go away because Hashem says, I'm wasting my time sending him to him. He's not going to do it with anything. He's not doing anything with it anyways. Anyways, thought. Okay, so it's in conclusion, therefore, we have maybe a pshat in the pasuk over here with the letter, the strange letter, Yikra. Right, the simple reading we said, come, Yaakov was saying to his sons, come, gather together, and I will tell you what's going to happen in the end of days. But happens written with an aleph, we said, which means to call. So I saw from Rav Levinstein's Shlita, he says that it could be that the calling here means to call out, that Hashem is calling out to us. He's telling his sons, come together, and I'll tell you what Hashem is going to call out. Because every generation, Hashem is calling out to us. He's sending us messages, like we said, right? All with these Yisurin, with things happening in the world. And Hashem is calling out. He's calling. What's up to us, though, is to listen, right? To hear the calling and take heed to the calling and do something about it. Not just cut the wire and say, oh, this, okay, take something for it. No, Hashem is calling out. Every generation Hashem calls out. And it's up to us to take heed and listen to these callings. And it's Hashem, if we will do so and listen to these callings out of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, then by, first being mamashmesh and then doing tshuva, then Hashem will bring quickly the acharis hayamim that Yaakov was talking about, the final gula shlema, v'mehera v'yameinu.